Hi there. I'm James. I'm the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church, and this is The Essentials. It's our podcast where we explore topics of faith, we discuss what's going on in the world, and we celebrate some hope that we hope to see and embrace. For today's episode, I have our lesson and our message from Sunday, February 16th. We had a little break getting the podcast episodes up, but we are back once again. So we're glad you're here, and here is this message. Our reading came from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, and it was from the Message translation. Coming down off the mountain with them, he stood on a plain surrounded by disciples and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to both hear him and to be cured of their diseases. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him, so much energy surging from him, so many people healed. Then he spoke. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the Masonic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you'd like. For even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. Give away your life. But it's trouble ahead if you think you've got it made. What you have is all you ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. Here ends the reading of our word. Maybe the best way to describe what Jesus is up to in our lesson is a phrase that many pastors have claimed to be their calling. A calling to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Jesus promises comfort and blessing to those who are hurting, and he also offers a stern warning to those who are relaxing, kicking back in a comfortable fashion. Pastors quite often stand behind the pulpit hoping to do the same, to bring good news to those who are suffering and in pain, and to challenge those who think they have it made. When we preach the gospel, we want to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Well, I hate to burst my colleagues' bubbles, but that phrase is actually something we as pastors stole. It applies to us quite well, but the phrase was coined with journalists in mind. There was a journalist in the late 1800s, early 1900s, named Finley Peter Doon, and he developed a humorous character named Mr. Dooley. Mr. Dooley was this Irish bartender who had a column that provided commentary on everything from wars, current events, political campaigns, you name it. And these columns were so popular that Mr. Dooley captured the attention of Theodore Roosevelt. The sketches were so widely known that they were used as a litmus test of public opinion at the White House in cabinet meetings. And there's some irony to the fact that Roosevelt liked this column so much, considering he was often a target of Mr. Dooley's jabs. But it was in reference to the job of journalists that Mr. Dooley said they're called to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I think maybe in another life I would have liked to be a journalist. I already spend several hours a week writing. I wonder if that job would come naturally to me. But I mainly wonder about it because of the respect I have for a journalist I knew growing up. John Gast was the editor of the Door County Advocate, my local paper, and he also covered high school sports. So he spent decades traveling from small town to small town to watch some high school football or some high school baseball, often on a weeknight, often on days where he got to enjoy crummy Wisconsin weather. And I got to know him because he'd bring his pad of paper to our cross country meets, and he'd talk to me looking for the scoop. I got pretty used to Mr. Gast finding me after I crossed the finish line. His daughter was a fantastic runner, so I think he had a soft spot for those cross-country kids that usually don't get front page coverage. But Mr. Gast and I would meet again in the winter during basketball season. Even if he went to a different game, sometimes he'd call me to get my recap on how our school's game went. And it was with basketball that he put Mr. Dooley's words to action. He comforted the afflicted. I can't pretend that my circumstance was as dire as the few that were mentioned in our lesson. I wasn't hungry, I wasn't poor, I wasn't crying. But when it came to basketball, you could say I was afflicted. It was my favorite sport growing up. I loved basketball more than anything. I'd play in our driveway all summer. I would watch the Milwaukee Bucks on a small TV in our basement while trying to imitate every move on a mini hoop we had taped to a support beam. I was obsessed with basketball. And the majority of my playing years, my team at school was hot garbage. It seemed like every team in the area hit a growth spurt long before we did. The full beards in seventh grade type of growth spurt, and we never caught up. I'd wait for basketball season all year, and when it would finally arrive, we routinely got crushed. One game ended 51-3. So basketball afflicted me a great deal. We were more competitive in high school, and after years of getting our butts kicked by our crosstown rival, we finally beat them. And I hit the free throws that sealed the deal. Mr. Gast was there. We talked after the game. I opened up the paper the next morning and saw the headline for our game read, "Hero Plays Hero," the first hero being my last name. And I was impressed that he remembered how to pronounce my last name when everyone in high school athletics got it wrong. But then, for someone who got beat up by the sport I loved for years, seeing that headline made me feel like I was somebody, like I mattered. When basketball brought me many tears, joy finally arrived. If the phrase from Mr. Dooley calls journalists and now pastors to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, I wonder what the world would look like if we stopped and really bought in to the first half of that phrase, to reimagine our calling to bring comfort. That's what Mr. Gast did as a journalist. He gave small town kids a little taste of their far-fetched dreams about going pro. He gave high schoolers a chance to feel like they were in the big time. He showed up. He wanted to hear from you and share your story. Well, that's a type of comfort that says you matter. And clearly, as I remember it 20 years later, it makes an impact. Now, when Jesus offers his blessings and woes in our lesson, as they've come to be known, I think as a result, it's encouraged us to separate people into two distinct groups, and to think that people are either in one or the other. There's those who are hurting, and there are those who have it so easy that they're comfortable with nothing to worry about. And we try to decide where people fit in those groups. How much suffering is enough? Who is suffering more? Like we have a chart that we can rank it on. And we get this idea of who deserves to be comforted based on how much trouble they're facing, as if we have a limited amount of comfort to supply. And then on the flip side, if you aren't dealing with X, Y, or Z, whatever circumstance others are facing in life, then you're comfortable. You don't need anything or don't have any complaints. Well, I've known people who are healthy and wealthy, and I've known people who are sick and poor. And I don't think any were truly comfortable. No matter what, they have something or someone that they're worried about, maybe something they're afraid of. They feel doubt, uncertainty, and pain. And yes, we will be thinking about who has it worse, whatever that means. We might not rush to someone's high school basketball woes like we would to someone's real hunger. But we would understand and see each other better if we changed our expectations of where we find suffering and discomfort. So, what if we're called to comfort the afflicted? And what if we're sent to all people with that calling? No categories included, to consider all people might be afflicted. Even those that we're sure have it made and shouldn't have anything to worry about. Even the people who frustrate us, the people we don't have a lot of positive things to say about. What if we listen to where they're hurting? Or to hear what they might be afraid of, to hear their story more fully? We might see how a lack of comfort in their life has impacted them. We might hear about the challenges that they faced and the times that help didn't arrive. Or maybe we'd learn of the fact that they didn't have the love or support that they needed. And it's evident in how they treat people today. How would bringing comfort there, even with the people we struggle with and disagree with, how could it change our walk together for the better? Because when it's the poor and the sick and the hungry, when they are afflicted, we don't hesitate to be present with their needs. Providing comfort there feels right. But seeing pain and affliction in someone who isn't classically in need, that's another challenge entirely. To swallow our pride and to hold space for their troubles too. It might just be the thing that unites us, the suffering we face in this human life. So let's look for and be open to where all people are hurting. Because in some way, we are all afflicted and a little bit scared. And we all need the comfort of presence and love in our lives. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to learn more about the church that I serve, it's the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison. You can find our website. You can follow us on Facebook. You can join us for worship on YouTube. And if you'd like to learn more about the Moravian Church in general, you can go to moravian.org. So take care, be well. I'll catch you next time.